The first reading is from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 11 and 27 to 31. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This week I wanted to actually get into the specifics of some of the gifts because it's important for us to understand what they are. Because it's one thing to read a list, isn't it? You read through the list and you go, oh, this is cool, great list of gifts. What does that do? Some of them are a bit obvious, others not so much. So it's important to think about them. So this morning, the first thing that we need to think about, though, is that we are the body of Christ. And the thing about the gifts is they empower the body of Christ to do what Christ wants to do. They are there from the Spirit as a grace of God. They are a divine enablement. So they come from the Lord. They're not ours. They're his. And through the Holy Spirit who is within us, they lift us up and they work through us. Sometimes they will enhance a natural talent we have. Sometimes they will be something that we've never done before and God is moving through us to do that. But in order to have the whole body together and to be effective as the body of Christ, having the gifts of the Spirit moving and giving them the space and helping people to learn their gifts is really important because it helps us to work together. And it also helps us to be in the right place. As I said last week, you want to be a round peg in a round hole, don't you? So if your gifting is not for the thing that you're doing, you're going to be pushing against all the time. And sometimes God doesn't want you there, so he'll make you uncomfortable until you work out what he does want you to do. And sometimes he will simply gift you in that area for the time because you need to be doing that. And then he'll call you into the place where he will bring you into that major gift that he wants you to follow. It depends. So in my hand, I have the gifts of the Spirit. But they're a little jumbled up, just a bit jumbled up. They're sort of in bits. So you've got bits of them. You know, there's a bit there and there's a bit here and there's another bit there. And they sort of need to come together. So I wonder if Grace would like to bring that little jigsaw puzzle together so we can have a look at it later. What do you reckon? Can you do that for me and stick it all together? There's two sides to it. Okay. And what I'm going to do Now, I haven't got my phone with me, but what I'll do is bring this down here and I'll give you a little hint. One side says gifts of the Spirit and the other side has the gifts. Okay, so if you can put together the words gift of the Spirit with your mum, then you'll be able to bring the rest together. So there you go. One gift of the Spirit jigsaw, which hopefully comes together okay. But if you write it all and then cut it up, you're much better off. Anyway, in the right order it works. Okay, so thinking about our gifting, some of us will know our gifting, some of us don't. What I want to say from the very beginning is that today you may feel that you're gifted in a particular way, but you're not sure. We can discern that with you. This is something that we should be doing as the body of Christ. So I'm giving an opportunity. If anybody would like to go into this a bit further and you'd like to come and be part of a small group to look at this and you're trying to work out where you're at, then you're very welcome to be part of that. And come and talk to me after and we'll see if we can come together, make a time, because I'm going to go through these as fast as I can in a way, because otherwise we will be here until this afternoon, because it's a big list, isn't it? But I do want to go through them because I think we often need that explanation. Last week we talked about apostles. We talked about the gift of prophecy. We talked about teaching. We talked about evangelism. We talked about the pastor. These are the five that are mentioned in Ephesians. And so they reappear, some of them in this list in 1 Corinthians, some of them in other places. And this is because not one of them is the list. Now, that's important to know because sometimes we get told that that 1 Corinthians 12 is it and these are the seven or nine or whatever you want to say, gifts of the Spirit. But there are other places where gifts are mentioned as of the Spirit, and it really is important. And even in order, you see with Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says at the end, he says, you know, first apostles, then second prophets, third teachers. And then he goes off on to deeds of power and gifts of healing, and that word is actually in the plural, it's healings. But in Ephesians, that's only three of the ones in Ephesians, isn't it? And they're in a different order. So we need to be a little careful with saying this is first, this is second, this is third, this is fourth, because that's not how Paul's done it. However, as I said last week, those five are leadership gifts and they are ones that we need to see in those who are called into a place of leadership. But there are other gifts in leadership and in the body of Christ that are as needed, because as we said last week, same thing, if you haven't got your hand, it doesn't work very well. You can't do things so well. We need everybody. Sorry, I'm not using you as an example, Vicky, but it just sort of came in my head there. But it's a very true thing, isn't it? So for all of us to be operating and knowing who we are in Christ and what our gifting is, we actually operate as a church to the fullness of who we are in Christ. And we work together in that way. And the idea is not that anybody is better than anybody else, but that we are all gifted differently. As Paul says, not everybody has every gift. As he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all miracle workers, are all those who have possessed gifts of healing? Does everybody speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Well, actually, the answer to those questions, the way those questions are framed, is no. Not everybody has everything. This is because we are different. And the right person whom God created for it in the right place in their right gifting is going to be the most effective person in that place. And it depends on the person. And you can have a mix of gifts. So you don't necessarily just have one. Paul had several. All right, let's get into the list, otherwise we'll be here all day. So having a little think about the gifts, let me think first about the the things that we know in Jesus' words, in our gospel reading, he talks about prophets. So let's start there. Now, the gift of prophecy is foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling, a true prophet will actually hear from God that which is coming, and he or she will be able to speak that, and it will be true. Why will we know it's true? Because it comes to pass. But also, we need to apply a test. If you are working in those gifts, we must apply a test. The gifts of words need to have a test, and the test is the test of the Bereans. You know, remember the Bereans? Anybody know the Bereans? The Bereans were a group of people whom Paul went to, and he told them the word of God. And the Bereans, instead of just taking Paul's words and going, cool, he's an apostle, we'll believe him, they went and checked the scriptures and made sure that everything that Paul taught them went with the scriptures. And this is something really important, because it is possible to be deceived. And it is possible even for someone who is someone who you know has a recognized gift to be deceived, because we are human beings, we can get it wrong. A couple of things about prophets. The first thing I will say to you is no prophet who is working in the Spirit will ask you to pay them for a word. Many have fallen for this one, because they're desperate to know. But our knowing is in God our Father. He knows. And to walk by faith is not to go searching around for what will happen tomorrow, but to walk today in the faith I have today for what is happening today. So that is why the Bible expressly forbids divination, things like horoscopes, clairvoyancy, speaking to the dead. All of those things are not faith at work. They are me trying to organize my life around what I want and find out an answer from somewhere else. And they will open you up to things which are not of God. So think of the young woman who was a slave, and she was following Paul around in Acts. And as Paul was walking around, she was going, this is Paul. He's a servant of the Most High God. Listen to him. And she's going on and on and on. And after days, Paul turns around and he casts out the spirit of divination in her. She knew the truth, but she didn't know it from the right source. He cast it out. Of course, he got in trouble then, because she was a slave to someone who was taking money for what the spirit of divination was telling her. And that is that's one of the reasons why we know. But also, this can be really difficult. And because, honest to goodness, you look at the news and you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, don't you? And when we have things happening in our lives and we don't know what's going to happen, we can be so tempted to go and check, you know, that horoscope that came under our eyes as we were flicking through, or listen to that person who promises to be able to speak to the person who's passed, because we just want one more moment. None of those things are in the Bible. None of those things are things that the Word of God says are of God. You need to be careful. By the same token, a prophet who knows will speak once they have confirmed it is the word of God, and they will speak it properly, and it will prove true. And they will know what only God knows. The other thing we need to understand is that the enemy knows about us. God knows us. Okay. The enemy knows about us. He knows that grandma died 3 years ago and you're missing grandma and all those things. So he can play on that. But God knows what grandma used to sing to you when you were a child. unless you've told a whole lot of people, then the enemy knows too. But if you've not told anybody, God knows, and only God knows. It's in here and it's not then spoken. The enemy cannot know it. Therefore, if that is something, it's one way of testing spirits, because we do have to test. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 14. John says it in 1 John. Test. Make sure that what you're listening to is the word of God. And the first test is scripture. The second test, of course, with a prophet who's speaking the future is, does that happen? How does that come? The other thing about prophecy, it's forth-telling, so it's speaking the word of God for this moment at this time into a person's life or into the church's life. And it will often work alongside knowledge or wisdom. So a person may get a word of knowledge, and a word of knowledge is a word when you know something that can't be known unless it comes from God. And so sometimes you'll get a word of knowledge. And so you'll see this in operation sometimes with someone who's a recognized prophet, and they will say, as I was talking to a friend the other day who's living in this sort of space, and she was telling me how one of her fellow prophets in their space said, now there's a person here who's got a tattoo of a car on his back. Very specific, quite specific, and they knew what make and model too. And the guy gets up and says, that's me. He said, come forward, I have a word of the Lord for you, and you need to give it to the right person. But the word for the Lord for that person is the prophecy. The word of knowledge is the utterance of knowledge. They're separate gifts. So some people operate in knowledge but not in prophecy in that sense. But the word for the Lord, from the Lord, forth-telling the word of God, knowing what God's word for that situation at that time is prophecy. But the knowledge, it is sometimes alongside it. They are different gifts, though. Some people have the word of God, but they don't have the word of knowledge. And so they will speak, but they don't have a specific place to put it in, that they haven't been told to speak to this person or that person. And the other place where knowledge works is sometimes when God wants to speak into a particular person's specific situation, and he wants that person to understand what's going on, and we are seeking God for that person's situation. So many years ago, I was doing a prayer for somebody else. We were doing a little prayer ministry together. We'd been invited to come in, and I brought somebody who was part of a team of people, and I had intercessors praying as well. I always have others. And the two of us were there, and this young woman came with her husband and her mother, and she came because she'd had many years of infertility, or at least it seemed to be so, but she and her husband had been checked out. Everything worked, so they couldn't work it out, and she came for prayer. And so we prayed for her because she was so distressed, and she was trying to get over the fact that she couldn't have a child. Fair enough. Everybody's been knows this. I'm a childless person. I come from a 23-year marriage with no children in it because of infertility, so I know how much that hurts, right? So if this touches a nerve, I know how much that hurts. Let me just say this, but I want to tell you this because I think it's important. So we're sitting there, and I am praying for this woman, and I ask the Lord if there is something that he has which we need to know. And he speaks to me and says very clearly, tell her her children are safe with me. And I'm like, I ain't saying that, because she hasn't got any. This might be really, really hurtful. No, not saying that, Lord. And he's going, tell her her children are safe with me. Can you give me a little bit more information? So I'm praying, and as I'm listening to him, he then gives me a vision, and I see two beautiful children playing in a field around a tree. And there with them is Jesus. And it dropped into my spirit, and I realized what was going on, and I said, and he said to me, say it. So I did. He said, you can yell at me if you like. I might not be right because I am a human being, but I think I need to say this to you from God, because he wants you to know something. Your children are safe with him. Well, the woman broke down and cried. And she cried and she cried. And eventually, when she got it all out, she said, I've had two abortions. Now, her husband didn't know that. Her mother didn't know that. It was just a weeny bit sensitive. But in that space, because it was the right space for this, You don't do that in front of a congregation of people, right? It was the right space for this. In that place, she was able to ask forgiveness, to talk to her mother and her husband. They were able to work together. We prayed, everything with the Lord working through it. They came together. 9 months later, twins. You see what God does through knowledge. This is what the spiritual gifts are for. They are to build up the body of Christ, and they are worked by faith. Now, I know that that was the voice of God because I've learned to listen to it, and I know that knowledge is something God does. But he doesn't always do it. Sometimes I'm there going, tell me something. Meep, nothing. Because it's up to God. It's not up to me. It's his gift, not mine, right? He gives it to me. If he's going to say something, he will. If he doesn't, there is nothing that I need to know right now except to believe what he has for me. Wisdom and knowledge often work together. Wisdom is that place where you have the wisdom to decide what needs to be done right now, and quite often that will work, again, because it's a word gift, or work alongside prophecy sometimes, but not always. Think of Solomon. He had wisdom. He asked for the gift of wisdom. God gave him the gift of wisdom, and he was able to work out exactly how to lead the people of God, because that's what the wisdom was for. That's what he asked for. And he was so wise that Queen of Sheba came to experience his wisdom, and she gave the testimony, this is from God, because his wisdom was just so clear. He had the blueprints. He had the steps. Often the leader will know where we need to go, or the visionary will know where we need to go. Someone who has a prophecy gift might know where we need to go, but often the person with the gift of wisdom will be able to say, and that's the step, and that's the step, and that's the step. Because we need both of them together. We need to work together. So these work together. Again, if somebody tells you that the step is to leave your husband and run off with that man, not in the Bible, folks. I have had somebody who came and told me it with that very thing once, and we had to have a little bit of a chat. The gift of faith, a divine enablement to believe for the miraculous, to believe for what God will do in your life. And so we all have to have faith. We all are part. We're all given faith. We all have faith in Christ, in God, and that is true. But there is a divine enablement to really believe. And you've probably met the people who can believe for anything. And they just have faith for that. And when it is something that is of God, the gift of faith will be given to believe for it. If it's not of God, then that gift may not be present. That doesn't mean that someone doesn't have the gift. It's just that if it's not of God, we have to think about what's going on. Healings are straightforward, and like I said, that word healing in our Bibles is actually healings. It's a plural. So there are lots of gifts of healings, and there are some people who seem to have a gift of healing in a particular area of the body. Some people are very good at, they pray for backs, or they pray for feet, or they pray for something else and it happens. Other people have a very good gift of healing, and they seem to be able to know where somebody is at in a mental and emotional way. And often those who are in prayer ministry places, you know, they have, God works through them in that healing of the body and the mind, the spirit. Healings, miracles, of course, we know what deeds of power and miracles are. We see them parting the Red Sea and all of those things. But a miracle, I think, is beyond what a healing would do. So a healing may heal a wound, but when the leg grows back, I think that's a miracle myself. So these, and sometimes the same person has that, and sometimes it's two people working together. One has one, one has the other. Discernment of spirits, what we were talking about before. We need to see the unseen. We need to understand what the power is behind something. Some people have a particular gift of that. I have a friend who has such discernment that she's walking past somebody and she goes, ooh. She knows what's going on. And sometimes she'll say to me, she'll smile at somebody as we're going along, and she'll go, big beam, and then keep walking. And I'm looking at her going, and she'll say, they're Christian. You know, because she recognizes the Spirit of God in them. So there's a a real discernment in her, and it's so natural to her that it almost freaks me out. But it's there. So we have these things. We talked about apostleship and teaching. Now, what about helps? Helps is an interesting word, isn't it? It's also written as assistance in some translations. Somebody with a divine enablement to just know where the help should be. Some people have that divine enablement, don't they? They just know. They know that they know that they know. And they know that they need to be in that place at that time to help that person. And sometimes that they're called in to try to bring that person to be there for that person, or to be someone for whom their ministry is all about just helping, being out there with people. And they often know what's needed before it comes. A while ago, I was very ill. I got home from hospital, no food in the fridge. There wasn't anybody there to help me because I live on my own. At that stage, I didn't have anybody with me. I often have people stay in the house with me, but there was nobody there at the time. And I opened the fridge, and I'm looking at the fridge going, right, we have a problem. I'm not up to going to the shops, there ain't nothing in here. Well, pre-COVID, so none of this delivery stuff all organised. And what am I going to do? And while I'm standing looking in this fridge and saying, okay, Lord, have I got the strength to get behind the wheel of the car and drive to the shop? The front door rings. And somebody turns up at my front door with fresh veggies, some meals prepared, garlic-free and gluten-free, because they felt the call to help. A divine enablement. And there are people like that, and you know who they are, don't you? You know who they are. It's a service gift. It's a beautiful gift. And I love the helpers. There is a gift of ministering and service, and that's often an empathy. And those two, often people who have helped, have this as well, and they work together. There is another place also, and that's mercy. And the mercy of God is never ending. And some people have a particular gift to have mercy on the ones that nobody else can put up with any longer. You know? You know that one who rings you 43 times a day? And you're like, oh, for goodness sake, go away. But somebody else has the patience and the gift of compassion for that person. They can be there for that person. And they may have a divine enablement to be in those places with those people. And often people with a mercy gift would be compassionate, and you'll see it play out, because they will go out and they will start a ministry around that mercy, because they've seen the people on the street and they can't sit still because God's moving in them, and they will go out to them. A divine enablement to work in the compassion and mercy of God. Giving. A long time ago, in a land far, far away, I was doing a locum somewhere, and I knew a family, and the family had got themselves in debt. They needed $10,000 to avoid bankruptcy. Now, I knew that. Nobody else knew that. They had spoken to me the day before. I went to do a service the next day, and I just asked them all to pray for these people. They didn't know them. They'd never been to that church. And all I did was, I know a family that needs real assistance right now. I didn't say how much. I didn't say where they were. I didn't say who they were. I just said this was needed. And I said, will we pray for them, because they're in real distress right now. Somebody in that service came to me and said, I've been praying, and I really believe that God has called me to help that family. Here's a check for $10,000. They didn't know them. They didn't know anything about them. But that was the figure they needed. And that $10,000 cleared the debt. They did not get bankrupt. And they could go forward. Giving, generous giving, is a divine enablement to meet the need through your own resources. And it isn't always money. Sometimes the person who has that enablement, they're the person who will always have an extra coat. You know, who will always have something else they can give, who will be somebody who out of their own resources will see the need and meet it, And God will then re-resource them for the next person. And you see that God's always refilling, and that person is just the one who quietly, usually very quietly and usually behind everybody and not wanting anybody to know, will be the one who comes up and quietly says, I can see that this person needs this. Will you pass it on to them? Or goes to them themselves. But they don't blow their own trumpet usually. No, they shouldn't. But sometimes if people are doing that and they're blowing their trumpet, you know where that's coming from. It's actually not about the gift. It's about the giver wanting the spotlight. So those things are there as well. Hospitality. Craftsmanship, I spoke a little bit about last week because it was in that Exodus reading. There are those who have talent. They can put something together beautifully. It can look amazing. And there are those who have divine gifting to make something to the glory of God, which is absolutely amazing. And I think there is a place for that in the gifts of the Spirit. The other one is something that people call creative communication. You know, people can get up and they sing beautifully. Absolutely beautifully. And you say, that's lovely. It's really nice to listen to. Another person gets up and sings the same thing and it goes whack. And the Holy Spirit just takes over and you go, oh, wow, that is God's word. It's not about the singer singing beautifully. It's about the word of God moving through them. They have the gift of creative communication. And in singing that word, people are touched by the word of God in a different way. So, and I mean, my personal take on those things in one sense is that the Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. Therefore, if you're just making a noise, it's okay, it's to the Lord. But some people happen to have the gift to make that noise very tunefully and very beautifully and to bring the word of God to people through it. And that's a great thing. So these things are there and they are more than that. There's intercession. It's a divine enablement to be able to believe in prayer for something and to pray on that thing and hold it to the point where you get your breakthroughs. These things are all mentioned in our scriptures. Do you hear yourself in here? Do you see somebody else in what I'm saying and you know them today and they're sitting in this room and you're going, yeah, I know that person has that gift. Encourage them and tell them. Encourage them and tell them, hey, Janice said that and I immediately thought of you. I really think this is something that's part of you. Because we often don't realize. Because the Holy Spirit is within and we're moving in the Holy Spirit, we sometimes don't realize that is Holy Spirit encouraging. Encourage one another. If you do not know or you're not sure and you know you're doing something but you don't know whether it is of God and you want that discernment, it is completely okay to come and have a chat. If you would like to be part of this small group that I'm offering to do some more discernment, please do come. We'll look at it scripturally together and think about, help you to think about and to learn and perhaps grow in the gifting that you have. The other one that I'm going to mention is probably the most controversial of them all, tongues. Now, we talked about it a little bit last week, but tongues is one of those things which so many people have trouble with. And I want to say again, you do not have to have the gift of tongues to show that you have the Holy Spirit. Paul, in fact, asks that question, doesn't he? Do all speak in tongues? Expecting the answer, no. That's how that question is framed. When he speaks about tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, he talks about how the Corinthians were using tongues. And I think this is where we get into the controversy because sometimes there are people who will speak in a tongue willy-nilly and you get these things happening in some places. And Paul says, that's great, but if there is no one to tell us what you just said, if it's supposed to be a word for the people, then there's nobody to say amen, is there? He says, if you're blessing the people, but the people don't know they're getting blessed, they can't say amen to it. You're speaking in a tongue. And some tongues, as we know, sometimes people speak in a tongue and it actually is a language. It's a language they don't know, But somebody else will say, oh, that's actually my language, from the darkest reaches of Patagonia or something. And somebody speaks a tongue and they realize that was their language, just as happened at Pentecost. Other people will speak in a tongue and it's the language of the angels, and we don't have a human language that is in. But if you have an interpreter, somebody who has that gift, they will know what is being said. Now, most of the time, tongues are a personal gift for this communication. They're for worship, they're for prayer, they're in that place. It's a great place. I encourage you, if you do not yet have the gift of tongues, to ask the Lord for it, because praying in tongues in that personal place of prayer can be the most powerful thing. And sometimes you don't know what to say. Romans 8 says, Holy Spirit speaks for you. It's a beautiful thing. When it is for the people, though, it needs to be something which is alongside interpretation, because otherwise we don't know what it is. That does not say we can't be in worship here and have the Spirit moving and be singing in tongues in worship this way together. If somebody's got that happening, if they are praying in tongues and they're praying and they're just listening for the Lord, we can do that, but we need to be careful how we do it. Because it's very important not to allow ourselves to be in a place where we, as Paul said, things got out of order in Corinth. And that's why tongues often are something which freak people out, because they're afraid of that happening. I'm happy with tongues. I love tongues. I sing in tongues. I speak in tongues. I have occasionally been able to interpret in tongues very, very occasionally. I think I probably count maybe 3 times in my entire life. Most of the time, it's this way. But when we are all worshipping together, who are we worshipping and what are we doing? We're doing this. Okay. So if there is a move of the Spirit and people are singing in tongues and we're singing together, that's fine. At the moment that somebody in that space feels they have a message in tongues, they need to be aware that there is somebody here who has the gift of interpretation. If God wants it heard, he will make sure someone can interpret. But understanding whether or not someone has that gift is important for me in leadership, because we don't want to confuse people, especially if they're visiting and they don't know the Lord in the same way or have never experienced it. It can freak people out completely, which is sort of fair enough. So thinking about tongues the way that Paul is talking about tongues in 1 Corinthians 14 is really important. The same with prophecy, and we've already spoken about that. In that space, it needs to be for the people of God, to build up the people of God, and it needs to come from God. And we do need to test any word that comes from the Lord just to make sure it is from the Lord, because we can be wrong. So hopefully that sort of covered the things which we might have questions about. I will say one more thing about prophets, because I think it's important. Sometimes the prophet is like somebody standing back here and they're looking at Arthur's seat. They can see Arthur's seat. There's a whole lot of stuff between here and Arthur's seat. And so sometimes the prophet is looking a long way ahead, like Isaiah did, 500 years in the distance. But there was fulfillment of Isaiah's words at the time as well. And so you find that sometimes prophets see something which is not for now, it's for later. That's when it's important to record it, because then when things come about, we know that that was a true word of God. For Isaiah, eventually his words came about. The virgin did have a son. At the time, there was a child born, not to a virgin, but born to a young woman. It was all sort of, oh yeah, that might be the fulfillment. Then they realized that wasn't the fulfillment. And later on, of course, we have Jesus. And Isaiah was a long time before Jesus. So I'm just saying that because sometimes we sort of say, well, nothing's happened yet. Well, God's language is often very immediate, but his timing is his timing. So be aware of that if someone does bring a word to you. All right. Let's bring this together and I want, at the end of this service, I would like you, if you would like prayer, if you'd like prayer for the Holy Spirit to come, if you'd like prayer about your gifting, if you'd like prayer about anything, at the end of this service, communion service, at our last song, if you would like to come forward to prayer, and we'll be happy to pray for you. And if you want strengthening in a particular gift, or if you want prayer for something else, I'd like to offer that. If you'd like to come for prayer, you'll be very welcome. And just come up at the in the last song after we've had communion, the last song right at the end of the service. Let's pray now. Our Lord and God, I want to give you thanks and praise that you really are the one. You are the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father through you. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would very clearly help us to know, to discern, to be able to go forward together. Help us to grow in the gifts that you have given us, that the whole body of Christ might work together in love. For Lord, the most excellent way is that way which you taught us before Paul ever said it, that we will be known by our love. So let your love, Lord, be part of how we work and how we walk together, and help us to build one another up. And help us to learn and discern how you are working in this congregation, that we might indeed be your battleship, not your cruise ship. In Jesus' name, amen.